In the Warren County Radio Bible School, we've been talking about David and his sin and the terrible way he tried to cover his sin. Sin has consequences, and David's sin was going to have consequences. I'm going to read the very last section of a Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam prepared for the Sunday schools of August the 28th, 1927. Called The Consequences of Sin. And we'll read that in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let me read this to you about the consequences of sin. While David repented and God forgave him, we must not conclude that all the terrible consequences mentioned by David never came upon David. Much of this came in the sin and death of Amnon, and especially in the rebellion of Absalom, when he lay with his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel and in the sight of this son. It is a woeful mistake to think that men can sin as David did or otherwise and even repent and be forgiven without bringing great reproach upon themselves and their families and suffering the consequences in this life. To try to palliate the sins of adultery, drunkenness, murder, and public men by referring to David's sin is a manifestation of dense ignorance, as well as a sin against God and a crime against decency and virtue. No truly penitent man will flaunt his sin in the face of others. The truly penitent humbly accepts the consequences of his sins and says, "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us after our iniquities." Psalms 103 and verse 10. There is no excuse to be made for David's sins. He himself made none, nor did he lay them on others. In true penitence, he acknowledged that he had sinned. David committed these sins while the purpose and the course of his life were to serve and honor God. And so we must view his character. Some wicked men perform a good deed now and then, however, with no purpose of honoring God, while the course of their lives is to serve sin. They will be lost, while David, upon repentance, was forgiven and saved. Saul, the first king of Israel, sinned in deliberately setting aside God's law, and with the intention, too, of more greatly honoring God. When Samuel told him of his sin, he withstood Samuel to the face that what he had done was obedience to God, that is, that God would so accept it. When Samuel declared that his sin was rebellion, stubbornness, and rejection of God's word, as was witchcraft and idolatry, and that God had rejected him from being king, he requested Samuel to pray to God to pardon him. But God would not pardon him, because he had rejected the word of Jehovah, 1 Samuel 15. His was stubborn, rebellious, and presumptuous sin. David's sins were not cool, presumptuous ones, but were prompted by fleshly impulses and passions. They were grievous sins, and brought upon him and his family shame and continued suffering. Yet, upon repentance, God forgave him. Our lesson is David's confession of his sins. A full and frank confession of sins comes out of true repentance. Well, that's the end of that old Sunday school lesson. And as I turn the page, I see another Sunday school lesson prepared for the Sunday schools of September the 4th, 1927. And it's called Solomon's Wise Choice. We're going to move now from studying about David and studying about his son, Solomon. The text is 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 4 through 15. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon, Jehovah appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast shown unto thy servant David my father great loving kindness, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him his great loving kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Jehovah my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for the multitude. Give thy servant, therefore, an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this thy great people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and if not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern justice, behold, I have done according to thy word. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there hath been none like unto thee before, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anything among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of Jehovah, and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings, and made a feast to all his servants. The golden text for this Sunday school lesson is Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13. "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." The devotional reading is the book of Proverbs. I'm turning now to that book, Proverbs chapter 8, verses 12 through 19. "I, wisdom, had made prudence my dwelling, and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of Jehovah is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way, and the perverse mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound knowledge. I am understanding. I have might. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me diligently shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver." The geographical notes for this lesson is about Gibeon. It was a royal city, about 6 miles north of Jerusalem. Its inhabitants had deceived Joshua and had become bondsmen, as we read in Joshua 9. At this place, Joshua defeated 5 kings, Joshua 10. As this lesson states, Solomon had a dream there. The tabernacle was here for a while. 1 Chronicles 16 and verse in chapter 21. Now here are some helps and hints for the teacher of this lesson. We cannot consider too well the conditions upon which God promised to bless Solomon and perpetuate his kingdom. Note David's dying instruction to Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. This is where we read, "Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I'm going the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of Jehovah thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his ordinances, and his testimonies, according to that which is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou goest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that Jehovah may establish his word which he spake concerning me, saying, If thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man of the throne of Israel." Solomon must do this, that God may fulfill his promise to David to place one of David's descendants upon his throne forever. God does not choose and bless people unconditionally and with no reference to fitness or character. You see what he said of Abraham, "I know him, that he will teach his children after him to follow me," in Genesis 18 and verse 19. Now let's look at these explanatory notes. And so I'm going to read again 1 Kings 3 and verse 4, where it says, "The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon make upon that altar." The time of the beginning of Solomon's reign is placed at B.C. 1015. And early in this reign, he called this assembly at Gibeon. This was the same assembly his father had called to confirm him as king in 1 Chronicles 28:1. Solomon spoke unto all Israel, to the captains of thousands and of hundreds, and to judges and every prince in all Israel, the heads of the fathers' houses, so common, and all the assembly with him went to the high place that was at Gibeon. For there was the tent of meeting of God, which Moses, the servant of Jehovah, had made in the wilderness. But the ark of God had David brought from Kirjath-Jearim to the place that David had prepared for it, for he had pitched a tent for it at Jerusalem. Moreover, the brazen altar that Baziel, the son of Uriah, the son of Hur, had made was there before the tabernacle of Jehovah, and Solomon and the assembly sought to it. 2 Chronicles 1, 2 through 5. This tabernacle and altar, well, they were about 500 years old now. Gibeon was a hill or a famous high place. Hills and groves were used by Jews and heathens as places of sacrifice. The high place was a hill or a raised place for the idol or for the tabernacle and for the altar of God. The Israelites were commanded to offer their sacrifices at the door of the tent of meeting. David had placed Zadok at Gibeon for this purpose. Solomon and this assembly sought to the altar there and sought God according to his directions. Well, that's the way we need to seek God. We'll continue this lesson in our next class about Solomon and his dream and his request to God.